is Publishing Talks, a podcast about the publishing industry. I'm David Wilk, your host, and today I'm talking to Jan Weissmiller, who is the co-owner of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City, Iowa. How are you, Jan?
I'm fine. It's nice to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. Now, of course, I thought of talking to you for a variety of reasons, but most recently, something happened in your store that caught the attention of a lot of people, which was that President Obama came in and bought some books from you. We have to talk about it, even though it's not really the purpose of the call. Can you tell me a little bit about what that has done, what that's meant for you in the store?
Well, the day that it happened, we were sort of in shock, and then I think that the most surreal thing was that there was a picture of me with Obama on the front page of the New York Times the next day.
Right, that was you selling him the book.
No, he was actually not buying those books, but he had held up, there were about, I'd say, 60 Secret Service people and photographers in here with him, and although they gave him a wide berth and he was pretty free to meet us all and talk to us all, he held up this Karl Rove book that he found in the political book section and waved it around at his entourage. And right after that, there was a Mitt Romney book there too, with Mitt Romney on the cover, and he picked that up and then sort of put his head over his shoulder and grinned at me. And so this picture of the two of us smiling at each other while he was holding up this Mitt Romney book went viral, and it ended up on the cover of the New York Times the next day.
Well, it's hard to resist stuff like that. It must be both fun and distracting.
It was, like, incredibly distracting. I've been saying to people yesterday, it was still going on today. I think maybe it will be finished, partly because it's kind of rainy here today, but you know, I have now 5 or 6 days of details, of which there are many, that have just piled up. Because all I could do all day, every day, for the past 7 days was tell people about what happened when I came in here.
Right. Your fabulous adventure with meeting the president. But, you know, it is great for you, and I think tremendous publicity obviously will get people to come in and see the store, and even if it's just they've never been there before, that I think it'll bring you a lot of new business.
No, I've saw people in here that I'd never seen before. Just crowds of them. It was amazing.
Well, that's great. Well, that sort of is a good lead-in. You know, you could say to a bookseller, what do you need to do to get crowds of people in your store? Now you can give them the answer. Well, you get the president to come to your store and shop for books, and it's going to make your year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've had because Iowa is the site of the caucuses, you know, we've had a lot of political hopefuls in here, but we've never had a sitting president in here before. We had John Edwards and Howard Dean and John Kerry all in here.
During campaign. Right.
And Obama actually did tell us that he'd been in the store before, but it was before he was a candidate, because we didn't know he'd been here. He was able to be here when he could still be anonymous. So it must have been before he was even it would have had to have been before the speech at the Democratic Convention in 2004.
Oh, yeah, it'd be when he was truly unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's probably, that's a good lead-in maybe to a little bit about Prairie Lights. You know, obviously, you and I know each other for a very long time. I came to the store first in the year that it was started, which was 1978, and you started working there almost immediately thereafter with Jim.
Right.
Who founded the store.
Right.
And it's moved once since then or twice?
Yeah, just once. It expanded. Its original location was very small, and it expanded in that location. And then 5 years after he opened it, we moved over here, which is just a block and a half from the original location. But it's been here since 1983.
Right, and Iowa City being a college town and of course having the Writers' Workshop, Prairie Lights is a literary bookstore as well as a general trade bookstore.
Yeah, yeah.
But would you say, how would you sort of describe yourself as a bookstore and a bookseller? You know, what are the things that are important to you in what a bookstore means to its community?
that has changed over time, because initially we were the bookstore. We were the bookstore for the Writers' Workshop, and we also attracted, you know, we attracted people from the history department and from the law school, you know, readers. And Iowa City is unusual because it's not very big. It's really, I think, only 60 to 90,000 people, depending on whether or not you count the university population. And because the Writers' Workshop is so prominent, people from all the other fields have social contact with the Writers' Workshop people, so they tend to read, I think, more widely, maybe, than academic people in other places. And so Prairie Lights was always pretty university-centered, although after we moved over here and we expanded twice in this location, we added a full floor of kids' books and a cafe. And I think over time, the bookstore has meant a lot more to the non-academic community than it originally did. And I think that now, especially now, when people that are researchers, even the writers at the Writers' Workshop to some extent are, you know, because they're keeping up with contemporary poetry and contemporary fiction, and they're teaching and they're writing. And so they do, I think, use the computer to read on, maybe more than the general public does. And even though they still come here, because we have a huge reading series, and publishing has changed too. The kids who graduate from the Writers' Workshop are much more likely to have a book published than they were 15 years ago, you know, within a couple of years of having graduated. And I don't really know how to account for that. You might have a better sense of that, because I'm not talking about small presses either. I'm talking about Viking and Random House and Grove, and, you know, publishing the books of these kids, and that didn't used to happen. So my sense is that they're all publishing more, right?
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, but so, this sort of raises this interesting point. I think that, you know, I think it's a fact that most people know that many, many, many of your colleagues in independent bookselling have closed over the last 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, even more, you know, over the last 10 years.
Right. Amazon was much harder on bookstores, I think, than Barnes & Noble.
Right. Taking 10% of your best business is a big deal for a retailer.
Right. And especially bookstores, because the profit margin isn't huge, and I think because I think very few people that go into bookstores are in it for the bottom line. You know, we're in it for the community. I mean, the community within the store and then the larger community.
Right, but you still have to make a profit.
But you have to make a profit.
And you have to be able to pay yourself a living wage.
Right. And you have to be able to pay your employees. And
right, and you have the problems of all small business in the, you know, my, and we're not, you know, we're obviously not going to talk about the overall economics, overall politics, but clearly you share the economic issues of any small business. It's not just small bookstores or independent bookstores that have gone under or been challenged. It's retailers of all kinds, either challenged by, you know, it may be the Walmartization of America, you know, the Target, Walmart, Best Buy model stresses many, many smaller retailers, Home Depot, Lowe's, all these guys. So they have a similar position to what you have as a bookstore, but also for bookstores, you have the same problem that I think the industry has as a whole, and that is in a given year, thousands and thousands of new products that have to be marketed, audiences found, people, you know, made discoverable. All of those are complicated things for a small business to take on.
Very. And, you know, one of the most frustrating things, of course, I think for all small businesses is how much commerce is now done online, you know, not just books, you know, and that there's no sales tax for that stuff. And it just drives you crazy.
Right. Well, they have a competitive advantage they have two or three competitive advantages, which are, you know, pretty obvious. One is Amazon is open 24 hours a day, and it doesn't cost them anything to be open 24 hours a day, and they have a sales tax advantage. And they also have, you know, the ability to show their entire catalog to a browser, even though I don't think the browsing online matches the benefit of browsing in a store. It's a lot easier to click to find than when you're standing in a store and saying, well, gee, what are the books in this other category that I hadn't even thought of looking at? You'd have to walk to another floor, potentially. So, you know, they have certain advantages that are hard to offset. You have, on the other hand, high touch and the ability to talk to people in person, which are, you know, those are meaningful differentiators. But still...
I mean, we hope that they continue to be meaningful. It's kind of frightening when you think about, you know, especially the iPad that's about to come out, and the iPhone even. I mean, that, you know, that these kids walk, I mean, I'm talking about college kids, you know, 20-year-olds walk into our store and they've got their iPhones and they don't ask us things. They have their cell phones and they're talking to each other. They're saying things like, so where is it? You hear
right.
them saying things, you know, where'd you say it was? And they don't want to interact with us. And it's very interesting.
Well,
I mean,
here's the question about that. You know, this is really the direct question. In a connected world where you know that a lot of these kids are reading books online, and a lot of your customers are buying books from other places, how do you add value? What do you do that gets people to not only come in the store, but to actually buy things? Because it's not good enough if, you know, a lot of people shop real world, you know, bricks and mortar stores and then go buy online. And, you know, obviously that is a short-term behavior that works for them and a long-term behavior that will not work because you have to sell a certain number of books and other things. And I guess that's my question. Like, what do you do in the future? How do you become what's the economics of being a community center focused on books in the future?
And you know, I have to say that I don't know. I mean, there is, of course, a buy local movement, and people are more and more educated about what it means to support something that you don't want to go away. And I do feel that, you know, that the community is proud of Prairie Lights, and not just proud of it, but they like to come here. They like to come here because it's a place that they're going to see other people as well as books. And some of them are aware of the fact that it's an endangered thing, and others of them can't imagine that it's an endangered thing. And obviously we can't, you know, we can't cry about it in front of them, you have to sort of rely on the other stores around you to get the buy local thing going. And I don't think Iowa City has done that, actually, to the extent that, say, Northern California has done it or something. And that's partly because it's not as wealthy here, and so people are thinking about what they spend. And the state budgets, all the state budgets are being depleted, partly because there isn't any sales tax being collected. That's part of it. Also because state budgets have to be balanced and can't run deficits like the national. So and the state is the employer of everybody at the university, and so. So we're in a pinched place. But on the other hand, I am really amazed at how many even graduate students are aware that they have to support Prairie Lights.
Well, and is there a way for a bookstore? I guess this is, you know, kind of, I don't know because I'm not in your shoes. But is there a way for you to embrace the technology? You know, I know you have a website, and I think your website is really good.
We just upgraded it considerably this year, and I had one of the younger kids. Obviously, it's great to have young kids on staff because they do those things so easily.
Well, and do you sell books? I mean, you have right here, right in the middle, shop online. Are you able to do some business selling books directly to consumers from your website?
Yeah, we do. And you know, and I'm sorry that I don't have the actual numbers for you because I have somebody that fills all those orders, and I haven't checked in with him, you know, real recently about the increase in that based on the new website. But, you know, when we've been doing the videos of Paul, we have a YouTube channel, and Paul is a Paul Ingram, who's the buyer, is a great hand seller. Have you met Paul?
I've known Paul since,
yeah.
Well, he was at the Iowa Book and Supply.
Yes, yes.
So I sold
yes.
him books in the same sales calls and visits that I would make to Prairie Lights, I would then go down the street to see Paul.
Yeah, yeah. And Paul's a phenomenal bookseller. And we can, and he also has the kind of, you know, he has a personality that works well online.
Yeah, he does, definitely. He has a personality that is very evocative.
Yes, yes.
He could be a TV star. I could imagine that.
Yes, and so, you know, I'm thinking about, I'm planning to soon, in the very near future, get an intern. We've had interns from the English department who get credit for a class for working at Prairie Lights, and we don't have to pay them. And I'm going to get an intern from the business school to help me with social media. And we've been thinking we should do an online book club with Paul.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
And he isn't on Twitter, and he should be on Twitter.
Right. Although, you know, it's interesting. Well, I think he definitely should be on Twitter. I think that the he meets the criteria. One of the criteria for social media, I think, is you have to be engaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't. Social media is sometimes mistaken as a marketing tool, and really, it's a community relationship tool.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
have to, you know, you have to be, you have to give and not just get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Paul would be very good at that. And so, you know, there's I see on the website there's Paul's Corner, and you can. You know, he's got recommendations there, and there you have the YouTube. So,
right.
I think that's really good. What about not just the website, but what about, is there a way for these reading devices? And let's assume for the moment that reading devices will be around for a while.
I think we can assume that.
Right, but we don't know how they're going to play out, and you know, maybe the iPad is the one, and maybe the Kindle is the one. I don't know. But you know, I have ideas and I have opinions. But is there a way for you as a retail bookstore, where you know really your business is built around physical objects, not a technology delivering system? But is there a way for you to embrace that technology in some meaningful and useful way to your customers? These are questions I don't have answers for. But like for instance, if you bought a bunch of iPads, could you do a book rental plan where maybe some of your customers want to use one, but they don't want to buy it?
That's actually a good idea. And, you know, I'm not as on top of that as I should be. And I know that, you know, I'm going to go to BEA and sort of have that be my focus this year, how to work with the e-book thing. Because I know that, you know, people should be able to buy them. They already can buy e-books on our website, but I don't know. I don't know as much about that as I should.
Yeah, we don't know. Again, nobody really knows how this will work, but I think the key element that a bookseller has always is as a recommender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have credibility, and when I go online and look at bookstore, you know, online booksellers, there is less of that. I mean, there's certainly, in fact, no personal recommendation system going on other than the amateur reviewers. And those are valuable, but I think bookstores have a different value, and potentially if you could find a way to maintain the value of being a recommender face-to-face, you know, the trusted person. I mean, if I see you, I know you, I can develop a relationship with you, then when you tell me a book is really good, there's a better chance I'm going to believe you than if you're just a few words on a screen.
No, I think that's very true. And you know, especially for gifts. I mean, we had a very good Christmas. And, you know, I think when people want gifts, they especially feel that way.
Well, I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for children,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The trusted advisor, you know, that's mm-hmm. why librarians and, you know, children's booksellers have so much authority in the book business because people really do trust them.
And we've expanded our children's book staff, and we have the two people that have been here for 30, well, Carol's been here since 1989, and Mary's been here since the old store, since Lynn Street. In kids, and then we've just added two children's media specialists that left the school system to come here
So do you do children's events and things like
yeah,
you know, kids' readings
do.
And stuff
we
like
do,
that?
We do that. And we also have a full floor for children, and it's the lower level, and it's carpeted, and there are toys and things that they can that belong to the store that they can play with. And I was joking around with somebody right after I bought the store from Jim about what was his somebody that has an antique store down the street and spends a lot of time in Pray Lights. And so I said, Mark, what's your favorite thing about Pray Lights? And he said that all the children are downstairs. But then I thought, well, you know, I think the parents feel that way too, that for the most part their children aren't bothering anybody because they have their own place.
Right, and they're safe also.
And they're safe, yeah.
Which is a big issue. So
yeah.
You can leave your kids to play downstairs.
And then shop up here.
Oh, that's
right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, you have the cafe, do you have food for kids and drinks for kids and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have, yes, we do. I don't know if you, did you look, we just redid our cafe. Did you look at it on the website?
Oh, you mean the Times.
The Times Club. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty snappy.
It's very snappy up there
yeah.
now, you know, and we are partnering with two local businesses, Deluxe Cakes and Pastries, and she's very child-oriented. The woman that has this bakery, she's had a bakery that's become more and more sort of an in place to be, but it's about a mile and a half from downtown, and so now we have her pastry. And I've had a lot of people, as we were advertising that we were planning to partner with her, I had a lot of people in here telling their children, did you know that you're going to be able to get deluxe cookies in Prairie Lights?
So is her specialty cookies, or does she do cupcakes too?
She does cupcakes too.
Yeah, cupcakes.
No, she's actually a wonderful baker, and she also has things for adults. You know, she has people say the best scones that you can get in the United States.
Wow.
They taste like England. They do. They're really, really good.
Well,
but,
it must be that's part of the future for a bookstore,
right.
And that is to be the place where people can come and experience, you know, things that are really high touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, food
mm-hmm.
food goes really well with books, even though I know as a bookseller, sometimes food does not go really well with books. you know, the coffee spills and the crumbs in the new book may not be the best, but I remember that when Kramer Books was the model way back in, it was in Washington, D.C., and they, you know, they used to return books to publishers and wholesalers, and they would have books that had clearly been, you know, they had coffee stains, and, you know, these were not books that had been thumbed through on the shelf. They'd been victims of the food war. But
no, we're pretty careful about that. You know, actually, we've had very little trouble with that.
Oh, I was just joking.
Yeah.
I think it's actually... You know, it's just like a cost of doing business at that point. But so the I guess if you had to sum up what Prairie Lights will look like, I mean, can you imagine it 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What do you think the world will be like, and what do you think booksellers will be doing, you know, and people? What will be going on then?
I mean, it already feels like the Jetsons to me. I mean, I just can't believe that the whole world is virtual, and so I really just don't know. But I think it will be here. I think it's going to be a long time before people don't want to read actual books to their children. I mean, I know that there's going to be a lot of interactive stuff on the iPads, but I think people, you know, parents were read real books, and that's what they're going to want to do with their children. And so the children are going to form a bond with the actual book. And I don't know what the future of it will be. I think a year ago I would have said we cannot sell art books because they're so much cheaper on Amazon. Now I'm thinking art books are something that, you know, you're not going to want online, and so we should feature art books.
So maybe go to the idea that things that you can show people that they can't see online, you give them the opportunity to really look at, touch, feel, that's the advantage you have, because the virtual world is so cold, ultimately.
Right.
And you have the opportunity to be warm. So the real thing for a bookstore is how can you translate high touch, warmth, into a transaction, ultimately, or enough transactions that you can make money.
And, you know, oddly, I am hopeful. I'm sorry, this somebody is printing something behind me, and I didn't realize that was going to happen.
Sorry.
But as I was saying, all these graduates of the workshop, and it is not just the writer's workshop that's here. We have a very vital nonfiction program, and we have a Spanish creative writing program in the Spanish and Portuguese department, and they love being able to come here and read, and they understand that if it isn't here, that's not going to happen.
Well, I think there is certainly a future for bookstores. I don't doubt that at all, and I for one hope that Prairie Lights will be there to celebrate its 50th anniversary, which you know won't be that long from now.
It will be 28 years from now, 27
right.
years from now. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Well, it was really great talking to Jan, and thanks so much. This has been David Wilk for Publishing Talks. I've been talking to Jan Weissmiller of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. It's almost dead center in the United States and an easy place to get to when you're driving across country, so I highly recommend a visit.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to a visit from you, too.
I will be there.
Okay.